upon you all.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala mahal ma'rifah.
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's prophet, and the progeny of Allah's messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are humbly at your service talking about the dialogues of Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam, the 10th divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali ibn Muhammad alayhi salam. So, what a beautiful, Imam we have here. We see that he's one of the Imams who talks a lot about theological and jurisprudential and philosophical matters, of course, which were very prevalent in his age and in his era. And there were, these discussions that were going about. So it was quite important for the Immaculate and Infallible Imam to discuss some of these issues, if not all of the issues that he was able, to discuss during his era, of course, before His Eminence's Shahada and his martyrdom. In one certain conversation, we see that Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam, he answers one of his companions and he brings up a verse of the Holy Quran. He says that, or he recites, "Allah, it is who has revealed the book to you. Some of its verses are decisive," meaning they are clear, "and they are the basis of the book, while others are allegorical or mutashabih." And then the verse of the Holy Quran continues, "Then as for those in whose hearts there is a sickness or a perversity or a corruption, they will follow the part which is allegorical or mutashabih, seeking to mislead and wanting to give it their own interpretation." Very interesting kind of, statement here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has revealed a book which, of course, some of the verses are very clear, they're manifest, they're decisive, right? And they don't need any kind of explanation. And they are the basis or the foundation of the Holy Quran. But then he says that there are others that are mutashabih, they are allegorical, metaphorical, symbolic, right? And they need explanation. And this is the beauty of the Holy Quran, is that these verses which are mutashabih or they are allegorical, they are symbolical, you need a reference point. And of course, the reference point is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and the divinely appointed Imams alayhi wasalam. And of course, very righteous, high level tafsir or mufassireen, of the Holy Quran that can explain the allegorical and the metaphorical and the mutashabih verses of the Holy Quran. But then very quickly, the verse continues. It says that those people who have some kind of a sickness or a corruption in their heart, and they want to mislead people, or they want to give a verse of the Quran their own interpretation, of course, for various selfish personal interests, that they follow the part which is mutashabih and it is allegorical. And Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam concludes and says that the best of my servants, and this is a verse from the Holy Quran, are the ones who follow the clear and decisive verses and in turn do not use the allegorical verses to mislead people. This is Dialogue, Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en/call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Teacher's Day in memory of Ayatollah Motahhari. Ordibehesht on the Iranian calendar, corresponding to 2nd of May, is the martyrdom anniversary of the great scholar Ayatollah Murtaza Motahhari, who led a life of inexhaustible effort to guide the people, especially young people, through debates, speeches, books, and his own behavior. Ayatollah Motahhari was a real teacher. Appreciation of teacher is appreciation of the gardener who takes care of blossoms till they bud into flowers and then fruitify. According to the Holy Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, scholars on the earth are like the stars in the sky. In the dark of the land and the sea, the right way will be found through them. And when they set, so many a guided person will go astray. We commemorate Teachers' Day and present you a program on the status of teachers and the thoughts of great martyr Ayatollah Murtaza Motahhari. Stay with us. Knowledge increases human value and rationality, and a teacher is a means for learning, so he has a great right over his students whilst being seriously responsible before these trusts of God. He preserves divine trusts from corruption and deviation and tries to set the ground for their growth and perfection. The Holy Prophet has said, "Verily, God and the angels and the inhabitants of the earth, even the ant in its hole, and the fish in the sea, greet the ones who teach goodness to people." The Holy Prophet advised his disciples to respect their teachers and observe their rites. The Holy Prophet said 3 times, "O God, have mercy upon my successors." He was asked, "Who are your successors?" He answered, "Those who convey my hadith and practice to all and then teach it to my ummah." The most fundamental feature of a teacher is his effort to make real humans. The noble Quran describes the Holy Prophet of Islam as the great teacher of human history, saying that the Prophet is distressed by the losses you sustain, who is ardently desirous of your welfare, and is tender and merciful to those that believe. The intense love and desire for guiding humans is very good for a teacher and no teacher can be successful without this love. In fact, it is the driving engine for training the students that are apt and ready to learn. Teaching is an art, and a teacher is an artist. Knowledge, contemplation, and creativity are the characteristics of a teacher that go along with science of the day. A successful teacher is the one who keeps updating his knowledge and awareness, daily advancement in science, and tries to apply science in class. He or she should be like a spring or a river that is not a stagnant. Because of spiritual impact of teachers, students are highly affected by them, so that they may even change the fate of their nation. Most people owe their success to their teachers. On the other hand, many failures may originate in the teachings and behavior of teachers. Ayatollah Murtaza Motahhari, recalling the memories of one of his great teachers, called Haj Mirza Ali Agha Shirazi, would say, "He was a great man. For the first time he made me familiar with Nahjul Balagha. I always consider him as one of the most valuable reserves in my life. I don't like to exchange him for anything, and not a single night or day passes except that his memory flashes in my mind and I remember him and utter his name." The Islamic Revolution is indebted to the intellectual and cultural endeavors of prominent Muslim thinkers and intellectuals, scholars. Martyr Shahid Murtaza Motahhari was one of the most prominent intellectual and cultural figures of our modern times. With a very high command of Islamic teachings, he met myriads of the needs of the present generation. Having novel ideas, creative thoughts, and proper understanding of Islam, Ayatollah Murtaza Motahhari played an important role in the enlightenment of enthusiasts, especially teachers and academics. He left behind some invaluable works that fulfilled the needs of millions of eager souls, both in Iran and abroad, as many of his works have been translated into many different languages. This great Muslim scholar was very thoughtful of the needs of the time and looked for the topics of interest and the need of the young people, the younger generation, to provide answers to the intellectual and ideological ambiguities to young people. Ayatollah Murtaza Motahhari was born in a religious family in 1919 in the town of Fariman, about 75 kilometers from the holy city of Mashhad in Khorasan province. In his childhood, he went to school and began learning elementary lessons. At the age of 12, he attended the theological school of Mashhad and began studying the foundations of Islamic sciences. In 1937, during the hostility of Reza Khan against religious and religious people, despite the opposition of his friends and relatives, he went to the seminary school in Qom to complete his education. During his 15-year stay in Qom, Martyr Murtaza Motahhari highly benefited from classes of Grand Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, and Allama Sayyid Muhammad Hossein Tabatabai. In 1952, he migrated to Tehran and very soon catapulted to fame as a top scholar and master of various Islamic sciences. He taught at the Marvi Seminary in Tehran and was engaged in writing books and delivering speeches. In 1955, the first session of interpretation of the Holy Quran was held by him at the Islamic Students Association. Martyr Ayatollah Motahhari was one of the main axes of coordination amongst religious scholars or ulama and university professors during the exile of Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him. He strongly believed in the ability of Islam to administer society. Hence, he outlined the views of the Islamic Revolution and clarified its various dimensions for every stratum, even for the layman. In a climate where a variety of advocates were promoting their ideologies to deviate people, especially the younger generation and academics, Ayatollah Murtaza Mutahhari traced the footsteps of Imam Khomeini to defend the genuine teachings of Islam, which had been manifested in the form of the Islamic Revolution. Ayatollah Murtaza Mutahhari has always been regarded as a very knowledgeable expert of Islam and a powerful philosopher who was aware of the conditions of his time. He confronted the ideological deviations insofar as he sacrificed his life for his ideals. Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, lamenting the martyrdom of his bright scholar, stated in his message, "I have lost a very dear child and am mourning for him, as was one of the character that was the fruit of my life. Dear Islam has sustained a fracture due to the martyrdom of this erudite child and eternal scholar, that nothing can fill his place." Considering the deep impact of Martyr Murtaza Mutahhari's ideas on Islamic society, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has said that for flourishing and advancement of society, intellectual work should be done on his thoughts and works. Enthusiasts should extract Martyr Mutahhari's thoughts and opinions in different fields. The leader says, "Of course, the works of this great scholar are alive, like his memory. Martyr Murtaza Mutahhari's books are not terminable. No one should think that we are repeating the books of Martyr Murtaza Mutahhari after a revolution as we have kept republishing them. There is no repetition in true words and in the words of wisdom. Society and the younger generation and our cultural and scientific community still need to know the teachings that this great scholar has written and put at the disposal of the Islamic Ummah."
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. In Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program's to my brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam. Imam Ali, alayhi salam, is truly this universal persona which we have studied so much over so many centuries, and yet this universal persona continues to be this fountainhead of knowledge and wisdom. Really, if one wants to get close to and achieve nearness to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, then the only way to do so is via the infallible and immaculate Imams alayhi salam, and more specifically, case in point, Imam Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. The Commander of the Faithful, of course, was the living, breathing miracle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, just as the Holy Quran is the silent living miracle of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. And even as the Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, has very eloquently said that Ali is the gate and I am the city of knowledge. And so whoever wants to enter into the city of knowledge must, of course, go through its gate and its door. And so, dear friends, we realize that if we want to understand and become close to and know what the persona of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, is, then we're going to have to do that via the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, during the era of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and especially in the event of Saqifa, where a group of Muslims had gone to, I guess, split up and distribute the booties of Islam amongst themselves, namely the Khilafah, and during the Khilafah and the Caliphate of Imam Ali alayhi salam, in both of these instances, we find that the problem was with the people, and more so the people's minds. And so what's interesting is that one of the most important pillars in order to reform an individual is, of course, to the reformation of their mind, their worldview, what they consider to be valuable, what they consider to be knowledge, what they consider to be wisdom, what they consider to be vices and virtues. So this reformation of the mind, the reformation of how one thinks, is incredibly important. And this is something that the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he did his whole life, especially when he was divinely appointed as the first divinely appointed Imam and the successor to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, by the Almighty Allah. And this is a struggle that he did his whole life, which is to reform the minds of the people so that they can witness and learn and realize and understand reality and truth, and thus in turn they can make correct decisions in their lives. And so we too, based upon the teachings of these Immaculates and Infallibles, alayhimussalam, must do our best to reform our minds and to bring them as close as possible to Imam Ali alayhi salam. A very beautiful and comprehensive lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: لسان العاقل وراء قلبه، وقلب الأحمق وراء لسانه.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "The tongue of the wise man is behind his heart, and the heart of the fool is behind his tongue."
Now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
Surah Tawbah is one of the last surahs to be revealed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفَعَ نُورَ اللَّهَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, that there are people who wish to put all out the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would like to blow off the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their mouths, they afwai him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَعْبَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا, when we talk about the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is not nur. Allah is khaliqun nur. Nur is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are various manifestations of the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one of the best example of the nur of Allah is the personality of Ali ibn Abi Talib. In that light, this ayat is saying that one example of this would be that there are people who try to, you know, put off the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَعْبَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا, but Allah fully intends to do nothing but أَن يُطِمَّ نُورُهُ, to protect His nur. And if Allah is so much intent in doing it, people can do whatever they want. You know, people during the early days from the Umayyads to the present time in form of the Wahhabis and the Salafis, they tried their best to diminish the name and the image of Ali ibn Abi Talib. But they were losers in the past, and they will be losers now and in the future. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْبَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا, Allah intends nothing but أَن يُطِمَّ نُورُهُ, but to protect and complete his nur. For us, Ali is not only a good Sahabi, he's not only a learned scholar, he's not only a very pious person, he's actually the pure embodiment of Islam. The Prophet of Islam brought the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is known as Islam. That message in form of theory manifested in form of the Quran. But if you look at that message in form of a practical example, it manifested in form of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So basically, when he brought Islam, he brought Quran on one hand and Ali on the other hand. Both are the miracles and the mujizat of Rasulullah to the Ummah. You have to look at the Quran, learn what you have to do, look at the example of Ali, and this is where you have to follow. And he expressed this very clearly in Ghadir when he says, إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمْ السَّقَلَيْنِ, I am living two saqalain. I am living two precious things among you as source of guidance. One is Kitabullah, the Book of Allah, the Quran, and the other is Itrat Ahlul Bayt. And at the head of the Ahlul Bayt, we have the personality of Ali bin Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam.
At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثناي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائك بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi,
Shahid Muhammad Baqir Al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was...
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan,
Maulavi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and thoughts of the most outstanding Muslim Shia dignitaries, personalities, and ulama. I am Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio, I have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Shaykh Fadai. Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Shaykh Fadai, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about another Shiite alim among the founders of Majlis al-A'la of Iraq, son of Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim. He is no one but Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Hakim. Shaykh Rouhani, before getting to more details about this outstanding man, this outstanding scholar, give us some information about the early life and education of Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Hakim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Hakim is among the great Shiite scholars, Iraqi Shiite scholars. He was one of the founders of political movement and party called Majlis Alaya Iraq or Majlis Alaya Inqilabi Islamiya Iraq. So he is the son of Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim, the great among the great Maraji of the Shayu, and also he is among the students of the other great Ayatollahs and Maraji like Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr and Sayyid Abu al-Qasim al-Khoui.
Yes.
He is known as Shahid al-Mihrab in Iraq, and of course he was born in the 1318 in Iraq, and he lived in both Iran and Iraq, and of course he was, I think, martyred in 1382, was buried in Najaf al-Ashraf. Among his teachers and asatid, we can mention the name of great Ayatollahs like Ayatollah Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim, Ayatollah Sayyid Abu al-Qasim al-Khoui. And among the works of these great scholars, Al-Hukm al-Islami is one of his books, and Bayn al-Nazariyati wa al-Tatbiq, al-Nazariyati al-Islamiyya fi al-Taharruk al-Siyasi. These are among the great works of this great Ayatollah. And regarding his socio-political activities, we can mention this, that he was the head of Majlis al-A'la.
Yes.
And he was among the founders of Hizb al-Da'wah al-Islamiyya.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was the head of also Majma'i Jahani Taqriba Madhahibi Islami.
Yes.
These are the positions that he had in his movements,
okay,
in his socio-political activities.
That's right. All in all, the political activities of scholars like him, Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Hakim and Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, were very much coincident with the Islamic Republic of Iran and Islamic Revolution of Iran and the ideas of Imam Khomeini, and also acting against a kind of oppressive or oppressor government in Iraq, Ba'ath regime, and in Iran, Taqut, we can say, or Pahlavi regime. How much do you think that their studies in the Hawza shaped their ideas in struggling against the government of their times? Shaykh Fadai.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, although our imams believed in Islamic government, as we have a famous book, the 250-year-old man,
yes,
Ayatollah Khamenei, which is the compilation of his lectures, he believed that all the imams, all 12 imams, believed in forming an Islamic government, although sometimes some of them didn't have the situation to do that, to rise against the oppressor's regime, but all of them believed in that. But unfortunately, we can see in our Islamic Hawza that most of the Islamic scholars didn't believe in that. They believe that we don't have the duty to form a government, and a statement. We only have to wait for Imam Zaman in order to form a government. And that was wrong. But after a long period, some scholars like Imam Khomeini, Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Baqir, Hakim Sayyid Muhammad Baqir said, Imam Musa said, some scholars started to again revive the theory of Imam, the real theory of religion, to have an Islamic government.
Okay.
But what is the difference between Imam Khomeini and the other ones? Yes, as you mentioned, they were in the same time.
Yes.
Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Baqir, Hakim Sayyid Muhammad Baqir, and Imam Khomeini, they have the same idea.
Yes.
But the only one who could be successful was Imam Khomeini. There were some differences. The first difference was that, yes, for example, Ayatollah Hakim had this idea.
Yes.
But they didn't have a lot of people as their background, in order to back them.
Yes.
For example, Ayatollah Hakim tried a lot in Iraq, and they stood against the Ba'ath regime.
Yes,
but they didn't they were not successful in order to destroy that regime and make a new one. But what about Imam Khomeini? Imam Khomeini had the idea as well, but he tried a lot. Maybe more than 50 years of his life, he tried to have people with him. And for example, when we see the year 1357, at that time, the time of Islamic Revolution of Iran, you can see that millions of people came to the streets in order to support Imam Khomeini. That was the main difference.
Okay, that's right.
But
okay.
But the interesting point is that they backed each other. For example, Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Baqir Hakim, they never said that because we live in Iraq, we are not responsible for Iran. And it is not our duty. No. You know, our scholars, they didn't think about the territory, about the countries. We just have one country, the country of Islam.
Yes.
That's it. Okay. The geography is not important. Because of that, they backed Imam Khomeini, even in Iraq. They advised people to follow Imam Khomeini and have the same government in Iraq.
That's all right. That's why he supported establishing Hizb ud-Dawah and Majlis al-A'la, you know, in Iraq. Shaykh Rouhani, also Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Hakim established so many of these resistance groups in the region against the Ba'ath regime. And during the Intifada that took place, you know, in the month of Sha'ban, Intifada Sha'baniya, he and his supporters had direct role in struggling against the Ba'ath regime on that time.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
So, as we said, most of his ideas, politically speaking, were rooted in the political Islam, Shaykh Rouhani, isn't it? I mean, politically speaking, it was not something which is defined according to the secular rulings or secular movements of the world. It was very much rooted in the religion of Islam, isn't it?
Yes, of course. If you want to mention some of his main ideas, one of them is this, that according to this great scholar, he was of the view that the Shiite societies are a kind of sound sort of societies, protected sort of societies against the evil kind of things. Because of what? Because of the hub and the love that they express to the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, and it protects them. If there is a pure Shiite kind of society, that would be a kind of protected, preserved sort of societies. And this is one of his ideas. And when it comes to the political kind of affairs, He was of the view that the political system in the Islamic world should always be led by a alim and a scholar, which is, according to him, is a divinely kind of position.
Yes.
That is given by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Ahlul Bayt, and after the Ahlul Bayt to the Hakim and Faqih and the jurist.
Yes.
That's why he was of the view that this political system that was established by the late Imam al-Khomeini in the Islamic Republic of Iran, this system is among the best systems that could be a very good alternative in the modern world for the Islamic societies and countries. Some other ideas that was really interesting politically talking is this, that according to him, this kind of system should be led by a faqih adil and a kind of just jurist and marja'.
Yes.
And then what is the role of people in this kind of system? He was of the view that the people should truly and properly identify, first of all, these jurists, faqih, and yes, then they have to try their best to obey Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to follow the faqih and to support and help him. And of course, the other point was, the other beautiful idea of him is this, that according to him, that due to the fact that the different fields of studies developed a lot in the history of Islam, and nowadays we have different fields of studies, in these different fields of studies different fuqaha should issue their fatawa and their hukm. That is why we need to a kind of specialized faqih and jurist in all these different, for example, fields. For instance, according to him, when it comes to the political affairs, we should have a specialized faqih in political affairs. When it comes to the social affairs, we have to have a specialized faqih in this respect. Or when it comes to the rest of the affairs of the people, so we should have some maraji who are specialized in political studies. Mm-hmm. They should issue their fatwas regarding political issues.
Okay.
We should have a specialized faqih in social kind of studies, social phenomenon. Then, of course, he should issue their fatwa regarding that.
So not all the maraji and fuqaha are able, when it
comes,
example,
for example, when it comes to the health issues related health, so the faqih, first of all, he himself should be specialized in this field of studies. Or, for example, when it comes to the music, a faqih must be himself specialized in music.
Mm-hmm.
Then he can issue their fatawa in that respect. So that's why, so this was an idea that we should have a kind of a speciality or expertise in fiqh.
Yes.
We should go towards this kind of idea, according to Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Hakim.
That's all right. Really beautiful ideas. Sheikh Fadai, we got about 4 or 5 minutes. Anything missed?
One of his significant actions was forming Sipahul Badr, means the army of Badr. Army of Badr had a lot of soldiers who mostly they lived in Iran because of the situation of Bas regime in Iraq. They lived in Iran, and in the battle between Iran and Iraq, although they were Iraqi, but they backed Iran and they supported Iran and they fought for Islamic revolution of Iran. So that is very important. You are from Iraq, but you stay against your regime because you are following Haq, not just your country. And at that time, he started that movement with Shaheed Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. And you know, we knew Abu Mahdi in the contemporary time.
Yes, along with Qasem
Soleimani.
Yes.
But usually we don't know that Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Baqir Hakim and Abu Mahdi Muhandis, they started the actions maybe before 40 years ago. And they had struggles in Iraq and in Iran with oppressor regimes.
Oh, that's all right. Really interesting point. So, I mean, historically speaking, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis was, we can say, getting his orders maybe from people like Baqir al-Hakim?
Yes. You know, Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Hakim and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis together formed this Sipah, this army.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Shaykh Fadai and Shaykh Rouhani, for your nice elaboration. The first day of the month of Rajab in the Iraqi calendar is known as the Day of Shaheed,
because this outstanding man was martyred and assassinated when he led the prayer of the Jum'ah prayer, and when he was leaving the masjid of the holy shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he was assassinated by a car bomb and he got martyred in the first day of the month of Rajab. Thank you very much for a nice elaboration, Sheikh Fadahi and Sheikh Rouhani, of the life account of Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Hakim. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstudy.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Israel trying to obfuscate Operation True Promise in media war. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Since the first hours of Operation True Promise, we have been witness to the narratives which were trying to trivialize and depict as useless Iran's armed forces' strategic and clever measure. It seems that the Zionist regime has relied on victory in the war of narratives after its defeat in the military field. In the last hours of Saturday, April 13th, and the first hours of Sunday, April 14th, the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, with the help and coordination of the Islamic Republic of Iran's army, using ballistic and cruise missiles and drones, carried on compound attacks on a few Israeli targets, including the Nevatim Air Base. The IRGC, in a statement called the penal operation against the Zionist regime as True Promise. We have prepared a three-part program on the event. Stay tuned for the first part, please. The fake Zionist regime, which has been defeated after seeing the failure of its Iron Dome and also its strategic Nevatim Air Base being struck by Iran's missiles and drones, has pinned its hope in the war of narratives. Part of these Israeli narratives are hell-bent on demonstrating Iran's attack as an ordinary and simple thing, or try to show it as fruitless and inefficient. This while the brave, decisive, clever, limited, and effective move of the IRGC was a response to the wicked and roguish actions of the Zionist regime. Although it was just a penal slap in the face of the child killer regime, the event has surely opened a new chapter in the confrontation of the Islamic Republic of Iran with the fabricated regime. Iran's decisive move in Operation True Promise was the first strike to the source of threat against the Iranian interests in the region, namely Israel. However, it should be noted that Operation True Promise has also demonstrated a new chapter of the capability, prowess, and willpower of the resistance front against the moribund Zionist regime. This successful operation clearly proved that, despite the claims of the Israeli officials on the impenetrability of the Iron Dome, David's sling and arrow systems, Iranian drones and missiles penetrated through all of them and struck their targets. This operation was definitely successful once we considered the help of a few countries for the Zionist regime to intercept Iran's drones and missiles. The US, Britain, France, and Jordan were the top countries to collaborate with Israel to prevent IRGC missiles and drones. For sure, one of the results of True Promise was that attacking the military and strategic facilities and infrastructures of the Zionist regime is feasible even with its intricately sophisticated security layers. The IRGC move to attack Nevatim Air Base and other Israeli targets, besides a war strategy and a clear political message, not just to Israeli officials, but their main warmongering and war-hungry supporters, the U.S. officials. The message was that the Islamic Republic of Iran is always ready to ward off threats and will respond any roguish action in the proper time and place. The successful and honorable Operation True Promise had several dimensions. The IRGC didn't want to launch a surprise attack. Had it mattered merely from the military aspect, the drones and missiles wouldn't have flown with announcement in advance. The operation was done for political and psychological purposes, informing of the regional countries diplomatically 72 hours prior to the operation was another sign that it was not based on surprise. Avoiding to target economic centers or civil infrastructures and focusing on limited military and security bases highlights the political aspect of the operation. The precision in targeting, traveling all the way from Iran to the occupied territories using a variety of launchers, reconnaissance of how the Israeli air defense system functions, warning the U.S. and harnessing it not to meddle in favor of Israel, indicate the Iranian strategic calculation in Operation True Promise. The Islamic Republic of Iran's move to punish Israel for its terrorist action of attacking Iran's consulate in Damascus has highly increased the self-confidence and motive of the resistance front against the Zionist regime. This operation further disclosed the shakiness and fragility of the Israeli regime. On October 7, 2023, the Palestinian resistance had provided the ground for maturity of the resistance front in the region with Operation Al-Aqsa Storm as the continuation of truth-seeking measures of the Islamic resistance in defense of the cause of liberation of Al-Quds proved in Iraq, Yemen, Syria, and Lebanon that a powerful, robust, and united front has been formed against the evil acts of the Zionist regime. The Zionist regime, after the scandalous defeat in the past month and further exposure of its fragility in Operation True Promise on April 14th, has put on the agenda to trivialize Iran's move and portray itself as an innocent victim for the world public opinion and the global bodies. Of course, the Israeli officials have resorted to censor the news on IRGC attack on Nevatim Airbase and other military targets. Iran's Nevatim Airbase in Negev Desert was hit with Iran's precision-guided missiles. This was a very big scandal for the Zionist regime. The airbase is located 1,100 kilometers away from Iran and 15 kilometers southeast of Be'er Saba city in Negev. The place is the most important Israeli airbase, which was the hangar of the highly advanced F-35 fighters of the Israeli Air Force, which had been purchased within the framework of a contract with the U.S. The airbase was also the hangar of the transportation Super Hercules aircrafts and the place for training of pilots, intelligence, and security forces. The hangar of the special presidential plane and the residence of a big number of senior spying agents of the Zionist regime. That's why the Hebrew daily Yediot Aharonot wrote that the Israeli security institutions are concealing true news from people to avoid concern and horror among them and migration from the occupied territories.